I will read 25th verse of the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Karma Yoga, Excellent Krishna Consciousness. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Shina Kalmasaha Chinna Vaidha Yata Atmanaha Sarva Bhuta Ite Rataha Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishaya Kshira Kalmasaha Chinnad Vaidhaya Tatmanaha Sarva Bhuta Ite Rataha Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Shinadvaidhayatatmanah
Labhante Brahma Nirvanam
Labhante Brahma Nirvanam
Rishaya Shina Kalmasah
Rishaya Shina Kalmasah
Shinadvaidhaya Tatmanah
Shinadvaidhaya Tatmanah
Sarvabhuta Hite Ratah
Sarvabhuta Hite Ratah
Labhante Brahma Nirvanam
Labhante Brahma Nirvanam
Labhante
Labhante
Achieve Brahma Nirvanam
Brahma Nirvanam
Liberation in the Supreme
Liberation in the Supreme
Rishayaha
Rishayaha
Those who are active within
Those who are active within
Shinakalmasaha
Shinakalmasaha
who are devoid of all sins.
Who are devoid of all sins.
Chinna,
Chinna,
having torn off.
Having torn off.
Vaidha,
Vaidha,
duality.
Duality.
Yadatmanaha,
Yadatmanaha,
engaged in self-realization.
Engaged in self-realization.
Sarvabhuta,
Sarvabhuta,
for all living entities.
For all living entities.
Hite,
in the welfare work.
Rataha,
engaged.
Translation. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose mind are engaged within, and who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Purport. Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in the welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in the knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The sufferings of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna. As the Supreme Enjoyer, the Supreme Proprietor, and the Supreme Friend. Therefore, to act, to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the Supreme. As Krishna-conscious persons has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna, he has no doubt because he is completely free from all sins. This is the state of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot actually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and the mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties is the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Labhante brahma nirvanam rishaya chinna kamasa chinna vaidha yatatmanaha sarvabhuta hiterata. Those who are beyond all dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, and who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhupaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dhinanime Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Panchakau Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasai Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Ajanulangita Bhujau Kanapavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro. Hare Krishna. Very happy to be with all of you tonight. I will speak a few words about this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the most important book. If we understand Bhagavad Gita, we can become happy. Actually, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to make us happy. Krishna saw the crisis of Arjuna. Krishna saw his existential crisis when he was about to lose his ego. And Krishna told him what is his mistake. And this is the common mistake. Every human being makes the same mistake. So Krishna gives the solution for all our problems. It's up to us whether we apply this solution or not. But the solution is there. And if we don't apply this solution in our life, we become happy. There is no doubt about it. Again, his only purpose of speaking Bhagavad Gita is to make us happy. And therefore he starts this verse from saying, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam. The last verse of this chapter, fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is famous formula of peace. Peace formula, as Prabhupada called it. Bhaktaram yagyata pasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhridam sarvabhutanam gatva maam shanti richati. Krishna explains how you can become peaceful. You know, we all know that the most famous mantras in Sanskrit are shanti patha. Om shanti shanti shantihi. When people are begging or praying for peace, peace from three miseries. Why three times shanti, shanti, shanti? Because there are three miseries. Adhyatmika klesha, adhidayika klesha, and abhautika klesha. You know, and if you don't have, you know, all three of them, at least you have one of them. There is no doubt about it. Either abhautika klesha, some other living entities like your wife or your children or your boss, or somebody else inflicts your pain. Or you have padidaivika clashes, then different forces in the universe, like climate, or earthquake, or excessive heat, or excessive cold will harass you. Or if you don't have even this, let's say you have a nice wife for a change. As an exceptional case, you have nice children, you have nice situation, you have perfect job, you have perfect location where you live. Let's say everything is there, but still your body is there and your mind is there. And they will inflict you miseries. Because in the mind, miseries are already there. From your past life, from your karma, some reflections or impressions are stored which will cause disturbance in your mind. And therefore, when people are asking for peace, they're saying, shanti, 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 give me peace from all these troubles. But no matter how much they say this, they will never get it. However, Krishna here explains in this chapter how you can get it. What is the practical way of achieving this peace? Prabhupada, he used this peace formula in his historical march to the United Nations. Because, you know, there was a march of peace in front of United Nations. United Nations was created to stop war. But even though it was created to stop the war, the number of wars only increased after creation of the United Nations. And Prabhupada, in his speech on this occasion, he said, this is the peace formula. If you want to have peace, this is the peace formula. You have to recognize God as the supreme proprietor, as the supreme enjoyer, and the friend within your heart. The best friend which is there. Unless you recognize Him, unless you set properly this relationship with the Lord, you will not be able to make sense out of everything else. This is the first step to achieve peace. And here, Krishna also explains, Labhante Brahman Nirvanam Rishayah Sina Kalmasa. Actually, this is interesting, and I wanted to speak a little bit about this. What Krishna is talking here. He says that you cannot achieve Brahman Nirvana. Brahman Nirvana basically means peace. It's a very fashionable word, and Krishna is using this word, Brahman Nirvana. Nobody knows what it is, but he says, you will achieve. He says, what is the path to this? How you can achieve peace? How you can achieve happiness? How you can achieve this undisturbed state of mind? He explains in the previous verse that basically there are two
attitudes in this world. One people are turned outside the extroverts. They are trying to achieve peace, happiness in the outside world. And so many people, majority, 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999
the vast majority of people, they are trying to find happiness, they are trying to find fulfillment of their desires in the outside world. They think that this is the happiness. This is where happiness is. Like, there is a nice story in this regard, how people are looking in the wrong place, happiness. Once was one rich man, he went on pilgrimage, and he had a big stack of money with him. And one thief, he noticed that this guy is going on pilgrimage. He said, well, let me assist you, and I will find out where he puts his money, and I will steal his money. So every night when the rich man would go to bed, to sleep, after some time the thief would start searching and searching, and he searched in all his places. He couldn't find where he put his money. He just couldn't figure it out. Night after night after night, the day he is using, at night it's not there. He was really puzzled. Ultimately, it was too much for him. He came to this rich man and he said, I'm a thief. And I wanted to steal your money, but I know you're a big mystic yogi. Because I couldn't find the money. Where do you hide the money? He said, I hide the money under your pillow. Because this is the only place where you will not look. So the purport of this little story is that you will try to find happiness everywhere, except under your pillow. The happiness is not far away. The happiness is within your heart. But we're trying to look at there and here and there in Dubai and in so many other places. People are flying all over. They're trying to find happiness. But happiness is within. And Krishna speaks about this. He says that those people who are trying to find peace outside, they're called in Sanskrit Bahirmukha. Literally it means Bahirmukha, those whose face is turned outside. We turn away from Krishna. Because Krishna is inside. Krishna is the dearmost part of our living essence, of the essence of our soul. Krishna is there within, and he is the source of happiness. He can give happiness without any problem. But we just, we turn away from him, we don't look at him, and we are looking, where is happiness? Just turn your face and you will find it. So, there is Bahirmukha and Antarmukha. Antarmukha, those who are trying to find happiness within. And Bahirmukha, those who are trying to find happiness outside. And Krishna says, just look inside. The happiness is there. The peace is there. In the previous verse, he said that there are three things which are inside. He says, Yantak sukho antararamas tathantar jyotir evayaha. Inside you can find three things which every one of us is looking. Every one of us is looking only for three things. Sometimes we are bewildered because we need, car, we need flat, we need wife, we need refrigerator, we need, I don't know what. So many things we need. But Krishna says, no, you don't need this. You don't need wife. You don't need refrigerator. You only need three things, which is Satchit and Ananda. Every living entity, because by nature it has these three major qualities. Sat meaning eternity or existence, meaning stability, meaning peace. When people say about peace, they basically mean stable situation. Now, because this world is so unstable, you know, so many disturbances, you don't know, you don't have visa, you have to go somewhere, you know, and something else will happen and you will have to change it and, you know, something else will happen and the revolution will come and the government will, new government will come, something else will come. But this is all indications that we are not having the stable situation. The first requirement of happiness is stability. Right? Can you be happy if you know, if just everything is changing all the time? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you already forgot what happened yesterday, and you're just bewildered what is happening now. You cannot be happy. If you are in a ship, and the ship is in a storm, and the ship is just woo, 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 woo. Can you be happy? No, but we are in the storm of material world, constantly. And therefore, first prerequisite of being fulfilled as a human being is to have this stability. And Krishna said, where do you look for stability? Inside. It's there. It's within your soul. And then the next thing which we are all looking for is Jyotish, as Krishna says. Jyotish means light. We all want to have this light of knowledge. We all want to know, we all want to experience something, we all want to have this clear understanding of what is going on. This is what we need. We need knowledge, we need stability or eternity, understanding that we are nicely situated in this world, and Ananda. We need happiness. We need to be happy, we need to feel that I'm very happy. This is three things which we are looking for. The problem is that everyone is looking outside. Everyone thinks that this body will bring you these three things. Can the body be eternal? No. Even if you get everything together, by the end of your life, you know, you're trying hard and hard and hard and hard, and you're working and working and working, and finally when you're 90 years old, you have everything which you wanted. Still you will not be happy, because you are 90 years old. I was just in Durban Ratha Yatra, and Bhakti Vallabha Puri Maharaj was there, he was giving lecture. And he told a little story from his life. He said that his son came to him. And he said, "Oh Dad, I have a good news for you. You have become a grandfather." Good news which children bring to you when you're old. So he said, "Dad, are you happy?" He said, "No." He said, "Why are you not happy? You have become grandfather." He said, "I'm not happy because all the grandfathers which I know are already dead." When I became grandfather, it means that I will die soon, therefore I'm not happy. The point is that we are really trying to find these three things, eternity, knowledge and bliss within body, or through the means of body. We want to make our body happy through the means of material pleasures. We want to find some kind of material knowledge and think that, you know, the more material knowledge I have, the happier I become. Like people go to the universities and colleges and they try to get this degree and that degree and this degree. You know, and you may get all the degrees in the world. You will still die. And you will still not know anything about God. You know, because this is not what degrees are all about. They will not teach you who is God. And even if they teach, still you will not know God through this material kind of knowledge. Because Krishna said, "I cannot be known through the senses." So we are trying to find these three things, Satchit and Ananda, through the body. And why? Because we think we are the body. This is the sensory definition of bewilderment, or moha, illusion. In Sanskrit, the definition of moha or illusion is that chitta vaichitya, moha chitta vaichitya. Basically it means this is the change of consciousness. Instead of our natural consciousness, instead of knowing that we are the soul which has nothing to do with body, which is really not connected with body and with matter. Instead of understanding this, when we come to this material body, or as Srila Prabhupada very poetically describes, material tabernacle. Those who don't know what is tabernacle, tabernacle is the case, is the big wooden case, the case of matter. This is actually, the body is just a suit or scaphander or very clumsy kind of stuff. But we think, I'm the body. And nobody will be able to change our mind. Because it sounds good. We read Bhagavad Gita, that's nice. We heard about this. But next time when we go to the mirror and we look in the mirror, do we think I'm not this body? No. Just look in the mirror. And all the philosophy evaporates from your brain at this moment. Yeah, that's me, right? That's me. And this is called illusion. This is called bewilderment. Because we are a soul and we are eternal. We are full of knowledge and full of bliss by nature. But because we projected our consciousness in this body, because we think that we cannot even have consciousness without being conscious of the body. You know, that's why we're so bewildered, and that's why we're trying to find these three things, which is the nature of the soul, within the body, which is not possible. And that's the tragedy, that's the problem, that's the mistake. We're trying to find something in the place where it doesn't exist. In the Bible, there's this nice story about one lady. And the lady lost the key, she lost a golden coin. And she was looking and looking, it was dark. And she came to a bright place where there was a light. She was looking there, and somebody was passing by and asked her, what are you looking for? She said, I'm looking for my gold coin. And he asked her, you know, where did you lose it? She said, I lost it there. He asked her, why are you looking here? She said, because it's light here, that it's dark there. So, how can I find it there? It's dark. So in the same way, it's dark within our heart. And it's bright outside. And we think we should find the happiness outside. But actually the place where we lost the happiness is inside. And we should still try to find it inside, because Krishna is inside. And Krishna is saying this. You know, like people are trying to basically find happiness in this false understanding who they are. And how, I wanted now to give you a little psychology, Vedic psychology lesson, explaining how this bewilderment is working within our life. Because we want to be eternal, because we want to have knowledge, and because we want to have ananda, bliss, and because we want to have these three things through the body, we are doing what we are doing. Everything which we are doing is because of this mistake. We want to have these three things, but we want to have this by all means through the body. And we know that body will die. So how people are trying to find eternity? How people are trying to really, through the body, manifest their eternal nature? They produce children. The psychology behind this, I will die, but I will live in my son. This is me, right? Looks similar. We extend or project our ego. You know, it is said when the first son is born, it's you who is born. It is said in the Vedic scriptures, you know, you're trying to be born again. Oh, now people are so crazy, you know. This is the craziness of the modern world. You know, now they want not even children. Through the genetic engineering, they want to have their, how they call it, the counterparts or whatever. They want to produce their genetic clone. They want to clone themselves. You know, even if they clone themselves, it will not be them, because they will die and the clone will live. but they think that's me. So this is how the psychology works. We want to live eternally, but therefore we were producing children. Why the sexual drive is so strong? Because of this reason. Because there is very strong drive within us to reproduce ourselves, to somehow or other to make us eternal. Or sometimes people do really perverted things, you know, they try to become so famous that their statues are there, and their mummies are there. Like in Russia, we have this Lenin mummy, which is entombed in the center of Red Square. He's there, his dead body is there, and people are coming and he's there. Why? Why this strange karma is there? Because this Lenin, he wanted to be eternal. Now he's eternal, Now he's sitting in this glass box, his mummy is there, his dead body is there, and people are, coming and looking at him. He achieved eternity through the body. This is ridiculous. All these big tsars and big kings in Egypt, they wanted also to remain eternal, so they kind of put different herbs in their bodies. Again, because of this reason, because they're trying to find eternity in a place where you cannot find it. And also because of this, because of our desire to be eternal or to be safe, we're trying to project our ego. Like people, why they want to become rich? In Russia, nowadays there are so many billionaires. Moscow is the number one city, where there is number one, the biggest number of billionaires, multi-millionaires. And they have house here and house there and house in Hawaii and house in this country and house in that country. They are only one, and they have 100 houses. They cannot use these houses. Or sometimes they have many cars. I have a friend of mine or some acquaintance of mine. He has 5 cars and he is 70 years old and he cannot use any of these cars. But he feels good about it and he is going to buy the 6th one. Why? Again, because he's projecting his ego, that's me. That's me. My ego has become bigger. I have this is my car, and this is my car, and this is my car. This is how it works. People are projecting their ego in their material possessions. That's me, and I have become so many. It is said in the Upanishads that the Lord, he has this psychology too. Eko Bahusyam. One has become many. And we want to be Lord. And we also think, I one, I will become many. There will be many sons and many houses and many cars and many something and many this and many that. And in this way we are trying to achieve happiness. But as Srila Prabhupada explains here, and this is actually the main point of this verse. Yeah. She was also trying to achieve happiness. Didn't work. But Krishna is saying, Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayah Kshina Kalmasa. He says Rishayah. Rishayah means, literally it means seers, those who can see, who can basically see inside. And if you try to look for happiness inside, then Kshina Kalmasa, you will not create seers. Because in our hopeless pursuit to find happiness outside, in the meantime we commit so many sins. Because we want to do this and we want to do this and that and this. But ultimately, this is have become the cause for our sinful activities. Because I want to, I have this very strong drive from within. And this drive is so strong. The sexual drive or the drive for, material pleasure or the drive to, expand my ego is so strong. And I create sinful activities. I commit sinful activities. So Krishna says, if you become rishi, if you look inside. If you really become serious about spiritual life, trying to find happiness within your heart, then kshina kalmasha, there will be no sins for you. You will be sinless. You will not have real cause to commit sinful activities. And kshina dvaidva yatatmanaha. Kshina dvaidva means that you are finished with all these dualities. You are not really dependent on these dualities of material life. Your happiness is not dependent from outside causes. I was once giving a seminar on a book of one of the biggest management guru, Stephen Covey, very famous. He has the book which is called 7 Habits of Most Effective People. Very famous book, everyone reads. Those who want to be effective, you know, they really study this book. And he says this, you know, there are 7 habits. And when I read these 7 habits, I said, you know, all the 7 habits are there in Bhagavad Gita. Starting with the habit 1. His habit 1 is that you should be proactive. And when he explains what it means proactive, not reactive, he basically explains that you should not depend on external things. Because usually we become reactive because we are dependent on external things. Something is happening outside, something which we think is good, or something which we think is bad, and our consciousness changes. And he says, no, if you want to be successful, who want to be successful? Please raise your hand. Those who want to be successful should not be reactive. And this is what Krishna speaks in every verse practically. He says, you should not be too much elated when something good is happening, you should not be too much morose when something bad is happening. And basically Stephen Covey tells the same thing, but he gets money, Krishna didn't get money for it. but idea is his. He said, you should not depend on external situation. You should not. Because when you are looking for this, for the happiness outside, you will be dependent on external situation, and because external situation will always be changing, you will never be able to do what you're supposed to do. You will never be able to manifest the real qualities of a man and ultimately achieve success because you will be too much dependent on this situation. And therefore Krishna said, if you look inside, if you become rishi, if you become seer, if you try to find happiness inside, then kshina kalmasaha, your sins will be finished, and then chinadvaidva. Chinadvaidva means you will not be dependent on this happiness and distress from outside. You will be independent of these things. And then the most important things which he says, yatatmana, it means that your soul or your atma will be controlled. And sarva bhuta hitarataha, only in this case you will be able to bring happiness to others. You will be happy yourself, but you will be able to do something good for others only in this case. Again, because when we are looking for happiness outside, when we are trying to find happiness outside, not within, we are really remain selfish. And this selfishness spoils our own life and the lives of everyone else. Now, actually, the cause of all the miseries, of all the 3-fold miseries which are there, is our selfishness. That's it. And Krishna explained that you will be able to do good for others if you want to do good. And we all want to do good, right? We want to do good for others, right? We want to bring happiness to people. We want to make other people happy. He said, this is the only reason or condition when you will be able to bring good to other people. It's interesting that, you know, we want to do good to other people, especially to our near and dear ones. But we don't know how to do it. Why? Because we are attached to them. Attachment means nothing else but projection of our ego. Again, when we look at this little gentleman and we think he is my son, we don't look at him as the individual living being. We look at him as my son. And because he is mine, I love him.
And only because he is my, I love him, and because I love him, he has to do what I want him to do, right? Why? You know, this people, because they are attached, they call attachment love, but there is difference between attachment and love. When you love somebody, you love him as a person. When you attach to somebody, you want him to do what you want to do. I have a very interesting story to tell in this regard. I have a friend of mine, and he was complaining to me that when I was a child, my father was an artist. And he was not a very good artist. But because he was not a very good artist, but he wanted to become a good artist, and it didn't work, he wanted me to become an artist. And he was pushing and pushing and pushing. And he said, and I wanted to become a musician. But he was pushing and forcing me to do art, and therefore I couldn't learn music, and now I'm suffering. I hate this art, and I'm not a good musician because he never taught me. And he said, now I'm really teaching my son music. But the problem is that my son wants to be the artist. And I don't want him to be an artist. So, this is the way of attachment. Attachment means... attachment to love is different. When you love somebody, you want to do what he wants to. You really want to bring welfare. And Krishna, he here speaks that if you look inside, not only you become happy yourself, you achieve the ability to bring happiness to others. Because you love them without attachment. You bring them good. Sarva Bhuta Hitarata. Krishna says in this particular verse that only such a person will be able to bring happiness or welfare of others. Everything else is just illusory. You know, sometimes people are engaged in this philanthropic activity or this activity, but it's useless. You know, they're trying to do some material good to people, but it doesn't really create anything good. People misuse all these things or whatever. It's just hopeless pursuit. Krishna says, everything is within this formula. If you want to find happiness and make others happy, then try to find it within you. And how you find it within? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna explains, this is how you find the happiness. Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram sukhridam sarva bhutanam yatva mam santirichasi. Those who remember always that I am God who is ultimately the enjoyer. People want to enjoy. They want to enjoy. They engaged in material activities because they want to enjoy. Krishna says, fair enough. If you want to engage in material activities, go on with your engagement. But know that it's not you who will enjoy it. I will enjoy it. No matter what you try, I will enjoy, you will not enjoy. So just know it. And do it consciously. If you do something, do it for me. Do it as a yagya. Do it as an offering for me. Do it as an offering for me. In this way, because this is natural disposition. God is one who enjoys, and we are one who work for him, and this is, we cannot change it. Because that's the way we are, and that's the way he is. You know. Even if we approach God and say, you know, I don't agree with this. With this nature of yours. And that's what we do. We come to God and we say, my dear sir, can I become God and you become me? And God says, no, I cannot. Even if I wanted. I'm God and you're not. And we say, no, I want to become God. So God says, you know, you have to remember, you're not God. That's the only thing which we have to remember. And for that we have to know who is God. God is the one who enjoys. You know, we're servants by nature. First of all, to become happy, we have to know who we are. This is the foundation of Vedic culture. Vedic culture teaches people who they are. Western culture teaches people who they are not, but they should become. And therefore everyone is so crazy. You know, everyone wants to become something else, not what he is, you know. Everyone, you know, they get all these desires and ambitions, and everyone is trying to become something really artificial. Women want to become men, and men want to become women, and they even created certain alterations there. You know, it's crazy. So, very culture teaches who you are. And first of all, to become happy, you have to understand Jiva Swarup Ho Nitya Krishna Das. By my very nature, I'm servant, and I cannot change it no matter how much I try. I'm always servant. Even if I'm king, I'm still a servant. I can only serve. And if I try to enjoy, I will become a failure. I will become a miserable enjoyer. It's better to become a happy servant than to be a miserable enjoyer. Well, what is the point? And therefore Krishna says, know that I am God, and God means, by definition, one who enjoys. Whatever people do, they serve, and he is enjoying, that's his position, you know, he's sitting there and enjoying, and best serving. Everyone is happy, because this is our natural disposition. And then, Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, if you want to have power, if you want to have this sense that I am controlling something, we want to become enjoyer, and we want to become controllers. This is two very important features of our ego. Krishna says, I am the controller. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I am Maha Ishvara of all these lokas. It's not that, you know, this shape or that shape or this king or that king. I am Sarva Loka Maheshwara. I am everywhere. You have to know this. And then, you know, Sukhridam Sarva Bhutanam, and at the same time, I am the best friend of everyone. And if you remember this threefold formula, you will always become happy. Because if you remember this, then when you work, you are not dependent in your work on the sense that I have to derive happiness from this work. You just do it as a service. And the happiness comes. This is the paradox of material life. You can become happy, but there is only one condition to become happy. You should stop looking for happiness. That's it. The moment you stop looking for happiness, you become happy. When you're looking for happiness, you will never become happy. So, so stop looking for happiness. Krishna says, you know, you just do what you're supposed to do without this strange mental attitude that this is the way to become happy. I'm enjoying your service, you're doing this, and we're happy in this formula, so to speak. And then, you know, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, don't try to become a big controller. Because I'm the controller. I'm controlling everything. Don't try to find... People are... See, there was an interesting little illustration to this. There was this Sigmund Freud, the famous... actually, he's the father of material psychology. Because psychology, by definition, is the science of the soul. But the material psychology doesn't know what the soul is. So Sigmund Freud said that the strongest drive in a human being is the search for happiness through sexual desire. And he explained the whole human life through the sexual drive. And then his disciple came. His name was Adler. And Adler said, no, my guru was wrong. He didn't know what you think. He said, there is more stronger drive in a human being, the desire for power. Why people are so mad of the power? Because of the fear. They think if I obtain more power, I will become fearless. And Krishna said, this is me, this is not you. Don't try to find power and don't try to find enjoyment in this life. You're the servant, and know that I am the enjoyer. Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam. And Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I am the controller of everything. These two things which you are looking for, you can find in me. And how you can find it in me? Because I am within your heart. Supridam Sarva Bhutana. I am the best friend of yours. And the best friend of yours means that you always have to know that Krishna is protecting us. That God
whatever he is doing, he is going for our good. You know, you have to, whatever happens with you, you have to know that this is happens. Why this is happens with me? Because Krishna loves me. It may sound strange sometimes, but it is a fact. And if we know that whatever happens with me is because Krishna loves me, we will become happy. Like sometimes people, they get deadly disease, cancer. You can become the happiest man in the world if you get cancer. And there is a living proof of this. Oh, not living proof. The vivid example of this. When Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, one of the sannyasis in our movement, leaders of our movement, when he got cancer, in one of his last days, when he was dying from cancer, and it was very, you know, painful, he told to Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who was at his bed, death bed, he told, you know, this is such a happiness which I feel. Never in my life was I as happy as now. And I will not exchange this disease with anything else. Because this is the bad thing which happened to me. He said that astrologers told me that I will live till 80 years. And my fame started at 52. Now I'm 52 and I'm dying. And astrologers, they didn't know what they're doing. They didn't tell me right. But he said, I will not exchange my position with anything else. Because what I realized at this moment, and the happiness which I feel now, is the greatest happiness I ever felt. Why? Because this disease gave him the most profound lesson, which Krishna is teaching here. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva lokam ahishvaram subhridam sarva bhutanam yatvamam santirichati. Those who know these three things, that Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is the controller, and ultimately Krishna is the best friend. And those who remember and apply these things in their lives. Whatever happens with me, I have to remember these three things. Whatever I do, I have to remember. If I remember this formula, then I become happy. No matter what. And if I don't apply this formula, I will never become happy, no matter what. So, it's up to you to choose now. You can become happy right now. You don't need anything else. You just happy because you are happy. Because the soul is happy. You just chant the holy name and you feel that your soul connected with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna
Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And you don't need anything to chant. You don't need even beads. You can chant without beads. You don't need even tongue. If you happen not to have tongue, you can chant without tongue. You don't need anything. You can always chant. This is always available to you. The relationship with Krishna is always available to you. And this relationship will bring happiness because this relationship will set you properly in this life. And this is what Prabhupada explains this. And when you obtain this position, this situation, then you will be able to bring happiness to everyone else. Then you will sarva bhuta hitarataha. You will give welfare. You will really be the friend of others. Because before that, you will always consider somebody as your enemy or somebody as your friend. But Krishna says, if you know that I am the friend of everyone, that you also become the friend of everyone. You become the real friend of everyone. You bring so much happiness to others. And this is in itself is a source of happiness. If we see that we're making others happy, won't you become happy because of this? You will become. You will become happy just of this mere fact. And Krishna is teaching us how to do this. For that, only thing which you have to know is to remember that God is there and you're eternally related with Him. As servant is related to his master. And whatever is happening because of his will. And you are there because of his will. And there is no reason to become unhappy. Just be happy and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada made this slogan as the slogan of Hare Krishna movement, and it may sound simplistic, chant and be happy, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Sometimes people think, you know, how I can become happy, I need this and this, how can I, maybe if I chant I will get what I want. No. You may or may not get, I don't know. But you can become happy if you understand that the chanting is the way to remember that God is there within your heart. And this formula is very, very profound. It's not simplistic at all, it's very, very deep. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions? What shall we do? You want to bewilder. No question?
Sometimes we encounter the material miseries. We are unable to bear that misery. So how to overcome?
See, the material miseries, not sometimes, all the time we encounter material miseries.
We are having something very intense.
Sometimes when it comes to this intense thing, you know, still you have to pray. And the way to pray, when you pray, you feel solace. You will immediately feel souls. You will immediately feel the presence of Krishna. Because when you feel intense pain, your prayer will also be intense. See, what Krishna does, he, or what Srila Prabhupada teaches us, he says, you learn how to pray when you are okay. When the misery will come, when the suffering will come, then by that time you already know somewhat how to pray. Then you will be able to pray. If you didn't learn how to pray when you are okay, you will not be able to pray sincerely when the misery comes. But if you learn how to do this, and you really pray, then you feel that, you know, nothing is wrong with me. See, why the misery comes? I can tell you why the misery comes. Misery is just a misunderstanding in reality. Misery only comes because we identify ourselves with the body and with some things which belong to our body. This is our ego, right? And why Arjuna was miserable? Because he had big ego. And he said, now I am going to kill parts of my ego. And they will die, and who will be I? You know, what is our ego? When you ask yourself who I am, we know the official answer, official ISKCON answer. I am servant of Krishna. But I don't believe you if you tell me this. If I ask you and you honestly answer who I am, if you honestly try to describe who I am, you will tell. I am such and such person, I have such and such passport, I was born on such and such date, I am Indian citizen, I am living in Dubai, I have my wife, and I have my children, and I have my job. This is I, right? Yes. And I is supposed to be permanent. When you lose anything of this, you suffer. You lose your job. Oh, such a suffering. Why? Because this is a part of me, you know, who I am, I don't know. Before I had this situation, now I don't know. But in reality, what happened with you? Nothing happened. You are what you are. Nothing changed with you. You know, if anything of this changes, you feel misery. But this misery, the source of misery is misunderstanding, because you don't know who you are. But you are eternal servant of Krishna. If you feel that I am eternal servant of Krishna, something happens with you, you are happy. You know, I am eternal servant of Krishna, why should I be? You know, nothing is changing with me. The misery, the source of misery is this changing situation of this world. Somebody dies, like for example my father died or my mother died, it's a part of me that Because I was a son before, but now I'm not a son anymore. Because my father is no more and my mother is no more. So I'm not a son and I'm lost. This is part of my ego. But in reality, you know, you can pray for your mother and for your father and not be so much, you know, feeling this bereavement. You can really bring them good and feel that, you know, that something is good happening to them because they are coming to a new phase of their existence with maybe much more pride and happy. So in the same way, but for that, you cannot do this when you're too miserable. You have to learn it when you're okay. And when the suffering comes, then this is the start, this is the test, this is exam. Now we are learning. And in the learning, sometimes we are a little relaxed. We think, yeah, I know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I know this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So when the students, usually when they study, they're just, you know, they're going to this party and that party and, you know, have fun. But when the exam comes, so in the same way, but in reality, good student, he is learning when the study time is there. So now we are learning how to remember Krishna, and when the test comes, and it will come to everyone. This I can guarantee you. Because you all have charts and horoscopes, and Shani is there, and Rahu is there, and Ketu is there, and somehow or other they're all in the wrong houses. So it will come. At one point it will come to everyone's life. But at that point you can apply really the lessons of Bhagavad Gita. And as Arjuna was miserable before the battlefield, and he became happy. Started killing in a very happy mood. Because he realized something higher.
Maharaj, I have one question. In your speech you said the philanthropic activity is not so much useful.
Yeah.
Are you referring to the charity or social service?
I was for some time in my life, I was living in Sweden. And Sweden is one of the most social states in the world. People there, you know, you don't have to work at all, you can be lazy for the rest of your life, and, you know, you can be lazy and crazy and get social welfare and be very happy about this. And I saw how this social work really doesn't help people. First of all, they don't become happy. They don't, you know. And second of all, even though there is no poverty as such, still, it's just, you know, people become really, sometimes really lazy or whatever. When I said about this, about charity or social work, it only brings good if there is proper consciousness behind it. If you just relate to others as material bodies and try to bring happiness to material bodies, it will not bring happiness to these people in reality. And this is proven. And so many examples. But there can be charity or social work which is done from the spiritual point of view, like Mother Teresa. I recently read an encounter. Radhanath Swami Maharaj in his travels, he actually met this Mother Teresa. And she told him that when I'm helping these poor people, and she was feeding these poor people in Calcutta, you know, and she had a hospital, and sometimes she would come there and she would give solace. She says, when I'm helping them, these poor souls, she said, you know, I cannot feed everyone. But actually, the hunger which is there in the world, it's not physical hunger. Everyone is hungry for love of God. And she says, when I'm helping these people, I'm looking at them as my God who manifests in them. And I'm serving them as Him. He gave me this chance to serve them. And if we do the social service or charity work with this consciousness, that this is part and parcel of God, this is actually God. And I'm serving God in the form of these poor people. Then you bring happiness to them. Then you can bring good to them. because your consciousness is proper. And if you're just looking at them as material bodies and you try to improve their material bodies, it's not going to work. There are so many stories in this regard. If a person is born poor, he will not be able to make a good use of money, even if you give to him. Because he will remain poor. He will not be able to become rich. It's not within his destiny. And so on and so forth. So this is the only real attempt to make people happy is to bring them Krishna. And then they can be happy. Is it okay? Because otherwise charity and social work, it may be well intended. There is good intentions, but if there is no proper consciousness behind it, it will not make people happy.
If you don't do the social service and charity, they will call you selfish.
No, you should do social service. You should do whatever you're doing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do anything. I'm saying you should do it, but in proper consciousness. You should do it. And then only you will bring happiness. And if you do it without proper consciousness, you will not bring happiness. You will be baffled in your attempt to make others happy. That's the point. You will be frustrated. I know so many charitable people who are ultimately frustrated. You know, there are many rich people, and I know some rich people, and they say, I'm doing this, but people are so ungrateful. You know, they're giving their money. You know, people are grateful. Why they feel this frustration? Because their consciousness is not proper. They are doing this, not because they are serving the Lord, but because they want to do anyway, whatever. The point is always consciousness. Your consciousness has to be right. Then only everything else will be right. If your consciousness is wrong, everything else will be wrong, no matter what you do. You may be well-intended, but still it will be wrong. But if your consciousness is right, if your consciousness is Krishna consciousness, if you're conscious of Krishna as God, then everything else, whatever you do, will be right. I will tell you a few words about Moscow project. Last year I was here, I was sharing my slideshow about the development of preaching in Russia. Srila Prabhupada came to Moscow in 71. He was there for a few days. And in 71, when Russia was totally atheistic, Srila Prabhupada made a very bold prediction. I mean, one has to be Srila Prabhupada to make this prediction. He said, in this city there will be thousands of people who will be chanting Hare Krishna. In 71, nobody could believe it. In 71, even if you believe in God, especially if you are a young man, you will be put in prison. When I started practicing Krishna consciousness in 1980, in 83, they almost put me in prison. They interrogated me, I was suffering mentally, and so on and so forth. But in 71, Prabhupada said, in this city of Moscow, one of the great capitals of the world, there will be thousands of people who will be chanting Hare Krishna. In 1993, in Moscow city, there was a concert of Gauranga Bhajan band, and there were 33,000 people chanting all together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada. He came just for a few days, and now thousands of people are chanting Hare Krishna in Moscow. Last year we had Janmashtami festival, and for this Janmashtami festival, 10,000 people came in one day. And out of these 10,000 people, maybe 1,000 was Indians, and the 9,000 was Russians, local people. They were all chanting. I remember one TV crew came, and this lady was late. She knew that there was some festival, and she came. She was really in a rush. She said, "Oh, maybe what shall I shoot? Show me something, you know. I'm in a hurry." So 1 hour later, I see her and I ask her, "How come you're still here?" She said, "It's so nice here. I don't want to leave this place." She didn't know anything about Hare Krishna. She's just some TV lady. She came for a few minutes to shoot. But she left till 1 o'clock in the morning. she stayed there because she said, I never experienced anything like this. It's so nice here. So people are coming, and perhaps you have heard, and I explained last year when I came here that we had a temple, Hare Krishna temple, and then the government took back the temple and demolished it and cheated us, and they said, we'll give you in exchange to land and you will build a nice temple. And we were naive Hare Krishnas. We moved out of the building to this nice land, and then they took back the land and said no. They took the building, they took the land. But this time we decided to be clever Hare Krishnas, not naive, and we said, we are not moving from this land until you give us something in exchange. So there was a big fight in British Parliament. There was some events, and you know, I went to India and I met with Manmohan Singh, and Manmohan Singh met with Mr. Putin and asked Mr. Putin for this. And then Shaila Dixit, Chief Minister of Delhi, came to Russia and she spoke with Mayor of Moscow. There were so many different events. And as a result of this event, just 1 week back, 10 days back, the Mayor of Moscow gave us the land twice as big than they gave before. Initially they gave 2.5 acres, now they gave 5 acres, and it's further away, but it's still okay, very nice place on the bank of the river. So we're planning to build a big temple, the first proper Hindu temple in Russia, in this Eastern Europe, and it will be a glory of Vedic culture. We want really, because we want ultimately to follow Prabhupada's footsteps. He speaks here that you can only bring good to your people if you give them Krishna consciousness. And this is our humble attempt to serve Srila Prabhupada and his glorious mission to bring good to the people of Russia, because people of Russia are very nice. They are very sincere at heart, very kind-hearted people. And we can see that, you know, so many people are coming to Krishna consciousness. So we are hopefully, we will build this temple within 2-3 years. By the end of the year, we are planning to start the construction. It's usually very difficult. We made a beautiful design. It's a Rajasthan-style design, very, very beautiful design. And usually it's very difficult to approve the design in the planning committee. You have to go 10 times, and they always find faults and say, this is improper, this is improper, you have to change this or this. Our design was approved from the first hearing, immediately. They said, this is nice design. They said, we want to have this temple in Moscow, it's a beautiful temple. So, let's see, it's still not 100%, but at least we got the land, the mayor signed it, and we're going through the process of approvals, and when we start building, it will be actually already very solid and safe. We're trying to do this little service for Srila Prabhupada for his pleasure, and we ask you to support us, to pray for us, to help as much as you can, because this is really glorious project which can bring a lot of good things to everyone's life. This is really the project which is, I'm sure 100%, that if Prabhupada was here, he would give all the resources to this project, because he wanted in you that there is a lot of potential in this preaching, and it was very dear to him. So this is how we manifest our service attitude. We want to serve Prabhupada, and we are doing this, and please pray and take part in this project as much as you can. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
जय
अबू धाबी यात्रा की
जय
थैंक यू